This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Eliminate bags under your eyes in minutes with Instantly Ageless from GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Two people fatally shot in an overnight demonstration that broke into riots in Kenosha, Wisconsin. City leaders in Kenosha asking for more help after a second night of protests after police shot Jacob Blake repeatedly in the back early Sunday. A letter sent this morning says the city is under attack and they're asking Democratic Governor Tony Evers for 1,500 additional National Guard troops. Yesterday they asked for 750 and got 125. It also comes after Governor Evers turned down an offer of help from the White House. First Lady Melania Trump calling for peace in the streets when she delivered an address at last night's second night of the Republican National Convention.
Instead of tearing things down, let's reflect on our mistakes and look to our way forward.
USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's N-U-T-R-I Medical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Hurricane Laura in the Gulf, forecast to rapidly power up as it approaches Texas and Louisiana. Expected to make landfall along that stretch tonight as a possibly catastrophic Category 4 storm. Here's National Hurricane Center Director Ken Graham, not mincing any words.
A large area of impact, catastrophic event on the way, and a life-threatening situation as well when you start looking at all these impacts.
The storm currently about 280 miles south-southeast of Lake Charles, Louisiana. The Hurricane Center says it will rapidly strengthen to a Category 4 storm with winds over 130 miles an hour by this evening. Today is National Women's Equality Day. Congress declared the day in 1973 to celebrate the passing of the 19th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, which gave women the same voting rights as men. You can find us online anytime or at usaradio.com. This is USA Radio News.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Jerry Falwell Jr. says he has a golden parachute, and he's not leaving Liberty University empty-handed. The now former president of the Lynchburg, Virginia school telling the Washington Post he's in line for a severance package of over $10 million. That includes roughly $8 million in retirement that was agreed to in the contract he signed last year. Liberty officially accepted Falwell's resignation on Tuesday, yesterday, after leading the university for 13 years. He leaves as he faces allegations of a sex scandal involving himself and his wife. California firefighters bracing for more hot, dry weather today. Crews battling the historic wildfires, many of them in Northern California, did get a bit of a break this week when the weather cooled off and the lightning decreased. Many of the blazes had been sparked by lightning, but now forecasters are predicting temps to go back up over the coming few days and into the weekend, and fire officials say crews are preparing for a marathon in the upcoming weeks to try to contain those fires. And filmmaker Steven Spielberg has lost his father. Arnold Spielberg passed away on Tuesday at 103. His death said to have been the result of natural causes. Steven Spielberg and his three sisters say in a joint statement that Their father taught them to love to research, expand their minds, keep their feet on the ground, but always reach for the stars. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
Fresh and independent. This is Bill Martinez.
Minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here, fresh and independent, just the way you like to always hear from us, Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. Chris Farrell joins us now, Director of Research and Investigation with Judicial Watch. He was a distinguished military graduate from Fordham University with a BA in history, whereupon he accepted a regular Army commission and served as a military intelligence officer specializing in counterintelligence and human intelligence. Don't you like to hear, you know, things from your curriculum vitae, Chris, and you go back and you go, when did I do that? How did I have time to make that happen, right?
When you're counting decades ago, it all falls into perspective.
I know. I was just in reading that. I was thinking, you know, oh gosh, you know, sometimes people read my bio and I go, oh, that's right. I forgot I did that. Well, and again, it's great to have you here on the show to talk about, you know, things are happening by way of, Judicial Watch. I know right now, in fact, I just saw a tweet that you're checking on the pay records of one Kamala Harris and payments that were made to her. Explain to our audience what's going on.
Well, you know, as soon as she kind of popped up on the radar screen as a national figure back during the Democratic primaries, and of course now she's the putative vice presidential nominee, we had sought pay records because those are public records and documents. And we did so from San Francisco, both the city and the county, because of course she had served in the DA's office and later on, of course, was the attorney general. And so we got some records, not a lot, but about 130 or so pages of material. For the most part, frankly, they're pretty boring, I'll be very frank. But there are a couple of weird sort of discrepancies where a pay clerk is writing to another administrator talking about trying to get a premium, some sort of an extra bonus payment that she was given, to get that either turned off or get it returned because she wasn't due that money.
So that was just a minor thing and, you know, thing that happens. But, I could see where it could raise some flags. Anything else come out of that, or are you just still, you're waiting on some more documents to be released?
Well, we come back and asked for some clarification on some of the materials we were given, and they have yet to even acknowledge the clarification. So they're not exactly moving with lightning speed in San Francisco. So, I mean, the records are there. I think people that are interested can read them for themselves and make their own, draw their own conclusions. This is not a lightning bolt, you know, stop the presses sort of bit of information. But frankly, it's part of what we do. You know, we get public records. We get material on newsworthy persons and events, and we make it public. That's a fundamental mission for us.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and you would think when it comes to vetting, because there's been some other questions about Kamala Harris that people are asking about, And you're going, well, where's the Democratic Party on this? Or where even is our government? I mean, because, you know, the birther issue came up, and it was something that Trump had referred to that a constitutional scholar had written about over a year ago, and this debate about birthright citizenship versus a natural-born citizen, right?
Yeah, and look, you know, when it comes to this sort of public vetting and screening of various candidates, I look at the illustrious governor of Virginia, the Commonwealth of Virginia, Ralph Northam. You know, he was running around in a high school or college yearbook in blackface, right, and somehow no one ever bothered to check that. And then it became a huge issue for him. He was nearly forced from office. So, I mean, really, when there's publicly available records and documents, you have somebody running for a senior office, you know, it's really appropriate to sort of shake the tree and say, okay, what's reasonably and publicly available? What's the record look like? That's not bad. That's just holding people accountable.
Exactly. Well, these are questions that need to be asked, and like you say, for the voter politic, because what happens, they see a candidate that comes forth like this, and they figure, well, hey, they've already been vetted, and that's why when there was a question with Barack Obama's birth certificate, you're a racist if you bring it up, and you go, well, wait a minute, help me understand this, because I just got hit with this recently, because they brought it up, I didn't, and I said, okay, I said, well, why did... I'll accept, he says he was born in Hawaii, he's born in Hawaii, but why did he produce a birth certificate that was fraudulent?
Well, I think he sort of revels in the ambiguity, right? He loves having people running around, kind of flapping their arms and screaming, because then he gets to make fun of them and turn them into cartoon characters.
Right. And of course, the powerful racism, you know, card is thrown up, which they wasted no time throwing that on Donald Trump, because he quoted a constitutional scholar who said, hey, look, we got a problem here, you know, between birthright citizenship and a natural-born citizen. You know, the 14th Amendment says natural-born citizen. It seems that the culture is willing to accept birthright citizenship, I guess. And if they are, then codify it so it's a non-issue, right?
Right. And also, flip the whole dialogue around for a second. In the Democratic primary debates, Kamala Harris called Biden a racist.
Exactly.
So where's the discussion and the debate on that? Is he now not a racist?
Mm-hmm.
Or because she has the vice presidential position, it doesn't matter, or she doesn't care because she's willing to forgive it because she got a high position? I mean, where's the tough questioning on that?
Exactly. Well, not only was he a racist, but he was also a sexual abuser. That, you know, she said very clearly during the Kavanaugh hearings that all victims should be heard. So I guess unless it happens to be a victim or somebody who's victimized by a Democrat, and particularly
unless you don't want to hear them, then you don't have to hear them. I mean, it's so transparently phony. I just wish there was just the tiniest level of any kind of integrity or equality in the line of questioning. And that's what you see all the time, is that there's a sudden amnesia in one direction and then hyper-scrupulosity in the other direction.
Without a doubt. Chris, I understand that, again, you've petitioned the U.S. District Court for D.C. For travel records of Hunter Biden. Where are we at on this?
Yeah, so, you know, look, we've asked for records concerning Hunter Biden's travels. Because, you know, we already got some records and documents, but not a complete set, that show that Hunter Biden made, like, you know, 400 and some odd trips with his father. Those are domestic and international trips, 29 different countries. And those documents were produced to us from the Secret Service for the protective detail. So Hunter Biden is clearly... has an enormous role. He figured prominently basically once a week, it seems like, for the entire time of his father's vice presidency, running around the country and the world with his dad. Well, why?
On the people's plane.
Correct.
Right.
Correct.
Yeah.
And so was he leveraging his father's position for his own personal gain? I'll let you answer that question. I mean, you know. Come on.
Well, there's enough facts out there that take it out of the conspiratorial, doesn't it?
It does. I mean, it's not a coincidence that he's running around the country and the world, for that matter. You know, 29 different countries, I think 5 times to China. And, surprise, surprise, he gets a $1.5 billion deal from the Chinese. Then there's all the Ukraine mess. And we're supposed to not associate or connect his travel at taxpayer dime connected with his father on the same trip. So, and we're not supposed to say, wait a minute, this is at a minimum highly questionable. It merits further inquiry.
Exactly. Got to go to break. We've got more from Chris after this. Stay with us.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Are you ready for what's next? It's likely coming. More food shortages, power outages, grocery stores closed, social unrest. Ask yourself, do you have enough food and supplies on hand to last at least 30 days? Most Americans do not, but you can. Avoid the panic of the last-minute rush. Order your 4-week supply of emergency food today from MyPatriotSupply.com. Starvation or dependency on the government are your only alternatives. Avoid those and the pain of being unprepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. Build your emergency food supply with meals that last up to 25 years in storage, shipped discreetly to your door. Folks that know what's coming are using today to prepare. There's time for you to do the same. That's MyPatriotSupply.com, the original Patriot Preparedness Company. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Attention, this is a public notice from the Social Security Disability Helpline. If you're one of the millions of Americans who are disabled and unable to work, you may be eligible for disability benefits from Social Security. Receiving benefits is your right. If you suffer from physical or mental disability, whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied, we can help. We'll evaluate your situation and deal with Social Security on your behalf. Best of all, there's no fee until you receive your benefits. Remember, we only get paid if you win your case. There are many reasons and conditions that may make you eligible for disability benefits. Many of them you may not be aware of. So if you're disabled and unable to work, call now to get started with your free, no-obligation consultation.
800-368-0123. 800-368-0123. That's 800-368-0123.
You hear the headlines. You know health insurance is a real mess right now. Premiums have skyrocketed, and in most cases, you're stuck with your plan until open enrollment. But there's a government rule that allows you to qualify for lower health insurance rates if your life has changed. That means if you've changed jobs, if you're having a child, if you're getting married, if you're getting divorced, even if you run a small business or you're self-employed, this law may qualify you to get lower health insurance rates. Call the Health Insurance Hotline today. Learn how this 10-minute call can help you get lower health insurance rates. This is a free service to help consumers learn the laws to help them qualify for lower health insurance rates. So call right now to learn more.
800-610-3630. 800-610-3630. 800-610-3630. That's 800-610-3630. Paid for by GoHealth.
Bill Martinez, we have a country to save.
This is your time, your
Fresh and independent we are. Great to have you with us. 19 minutes after the top of the hour. And Chris Farrell continues with us. Chris with Judicial Watch. Chris, we were just talking about Hunter Biden. I mean, we saw a video of him coming off of Air Force Two repeatedly. And now he's just trying to get the substantiation and the records. I didn't realize the numbers had grown to that number. You said, what, over 400 times he traveled with his dad?
Yeah, 411.
Wow.
The Secret Service protective detail records. 411 separate trips. 29 of them to different foreign countries, or to 29 different countries.
Mm-hmm.
And he was in China five times with his dad. I mean, this is pretty outrageous stuff.
Now, I understand that this has really kind of been a family project. Were there other family members on some of these trips with the vice president as well?
Well, I know that Dr. Jill Biden, Joe Biden's wife, traveled with him very frequently. And I don't have the precise numbers for that, but frankly, mm-hmm. I don't find that either odd or objectionable. There's no reason why the vice president's spouse can't accompany. I mean, that's entirely appropriate in my view. But I don't know other family members.
Yeah, I just heard that there had been some reporting that, family members, the sons, children of the Bidens had also participated in some, pay-for-play kind of influence, peddling as well. But that obviously at this point is yet to be fully determined and maybe just reported on the surface. But, again, we look at Biden, whether it is with, this issue. Of course, the big issue that came out during the impeachment was quid pro quo. And here you have Joe Biden laughing about what was a clear, what I would think is a quid pro quo proposition to the government of Ukraine.
Yeah, and look, the attention span on this is like that of a four-year-old. Yeah. There's very little real persistent drill down. I mean, you don't hear there certainly is not the same level of effort or energy as the hysterical and false Russia, Russia, Russia routine with President Trump. I mean, you're not hearing Hunter Biden and Joe Biden, China, Ukraine over and over again. There's no Committee of Congress committed to investigating it. I mean, the disparity of treatment is really quite shocking.
Well, Chris, Judicial Watch continues to keep the pressure on information regarding the FBI, and I understand that Andrew McCabe's text messages are ready for release, right?
Yeah, now suddenly, after fighting us for years, literally, the FBI and the Department of Justice had an outrageous position that the text messages of active serving FBI agents on their FBI government phones communicating with other FBI and Justice Department officials, that somehow that wasn't a government record. It was preposterous. So agents on their government devices communicating about government work. No, that's not government information. They dragged that out forever. They really fought us tooth and nail trying to make this preposterous claim. And finally, they have relented. And so we anticipate receiving records. And this goes back to this litigation started in 2017, right?
Right.
This is 3 years of fighting.
Right.
But we're finally going to be starting to get those records.
Well, they can only hope for a change of management. I see where FBI Director Christopher Wray, he's a company guy. I mean, he's doing everything he can to protect the FBI. He's got to know that the corruption runs deep. What kind of damage control are you aware of that he might be doing?
I mean, that's his sole function in life, in my view. In fact, I did an opinion piece up on Daily Caller saying that, Wray's sole function in life is damage control and institutional preservation of the FBI. And you look no further than what we were just discussing with respect to Andrew McCabe's text messages. Wray does not serve the president well. He doesn't serve the country well, for that matter, because, instead of being a reformer, instead of somebody who would come in look at the gross, really repulsive abuses of Comey and McCabe and Strzok and the rest of them, instead of coming in and cleaning house, he came in and basically, you know, clamped the lid down on what the FBI was doing. You know, they're caught in 17 different instances in gross abuses on FISA warrants. Mm-hmm. And his letter to Congress says, well, some mistakes were made, and we're going to look at getting that fixed, which is so inadequate, so anemic and pathetic of a response. If the cards play out that President Trump is reelected, then I think job one is to bounce Christopher Wray out of there and put a real reformer in. Otherwise, the effect on the FBI and the Justice Department, it's very corrosive. I mean, the American public doesn't trust them anymore.
Right. Well, this has been going on for a number of years. I mean, for decades, if the truth be known, you don't just suddenly wake up and find yourself, in much the same way that could happen by comparison, you know, looking back on a presidency like, Richard Nixon. It didn't happen overnight. It's just arrogance and time in service, and you keep missing the mark, and you get to the extremes, and the extremes seem to be quite prevalent with the FBI, quite telling. It's like, okay, what are we going to do about it? Are we just going to, put a cover over it, as you say, and ignore it? And if Donald Trump, that's what I'm concerned about, is that, you know, these issues go a lot deeper than just the FBI. I mean, this really speaks to the character of a nation. And I believe it has metastasized amongst all the three-letter agencies. I mean, they're all suspect at this point, in my humble opinion.
Bill, you are exactly correct. It's a cultural thing. They've created a culture of corruption and a culture of, you know, cutting corners and getting away with stuff. It's a lot of arrogance. It's a lot of, you know, we're the guys with the badges and guns. We'll do as we damn well please kind of mentality.
Exactly.
And it's really very dangerous to the American public.
Well, we got an indictment this past week. I guess the sacrificial goat, maybe to quell some of the natives, but we know that it goes a lot deeper than this. And, is Durham going to be able to make something happen? I mean, we hear excuses like COVID and other things that are slowing this down. And then also we get into the political window and the sensitivity of justice not wanting to interfere with the election.
Yeah, you know, this guy Kleinsmith, who supposedly is going to plead out on one charge of falsifying, making a false statement or falsifying a record, he's really low-hanging fruit. If that's the end of the game, going after one corrupt attorney on the staff of the FBI is supposed to be vindication or something, boy, is the American public being let down.
Yeah, without a doubt.
I think of about two dozen people that should be gone after.
Well, here you had Sally Yates last week throwing James Comey right under the bus big time.
Correct. And there's more. I mean, there's a litany of names, frankly. A lot of really corrupt, dirty cops. I mean, they're dressed up in nice suits, and they speak well, and they have nice ties and haircuts and everything like that. So the imagery is one thing. But what they were up to and what they were plotting and what they were really, it was a soft coup. It was an effort to overthrow an election. And there's nothing lower, nothing dirtier than that.
No, without a doubt. And, again, we're grateful for all the hard work that and heavy lifting Judicial Watch and the staff has been committed to get to the bottom of this, to really open this up. I mean, because this has all metastasized. I mean, this is an ugly, corrupt cancer that if we do not get to the bottom of this, what kind of government are we turning over to our kids and our grandkids, Chris?
Yeah, I mean, that's the larger sort of philosophical question is, we will get to the point when there's no trust in the justice system that we end up becoming what's really a failed state. You know, we will become sort of a very wealthy, very sophisticated banana republic. It'll look good, but there'll be no faith in the inner core, in the bones and guts of the country.
One final quick question, Bill Barr, friend or foe?
I don't know. We'll see what happens. I mean, you can say all the right things, but I'm not interested in words. I'm interested in action.
There it is. He's the Director of Investigations and Research with Judicial Watch. Chris Farrell has been our guest. Chris, always appreciate the time. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Bill.
Why have thousands of aspiring authors teamed up with Christian Faith Publishing to publish their book? Because Christian Faith Publishing is an author-friendly publisher who understands that your labor is more than just a book. We provide authors freedom and flexibility throughout the publishing process, professional book editing, award-winning design, and some of the highest royalty structures in the publishing industry. And as always, you will retain 100% of the rights to your book.
I was looking to find a company that I could trust, one that assisted in the editing process completely.
The most important qualities that I was looking for was a publisher who was honest and upfront, no hidden costs or fees, and owning the rights to my own work.
Christian Faith Publishing will publish, market, and sell your books in all major bookstores, online booksellers, as well as specialty Christian bookstores. Call for your free author submission kit.
800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. That's 800-978-4811.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Two people fatally shot in an overnight demonstration that broke into riots in Kenosha, Wisconsin. City leaders in Kenosha asking for more help after a second night of protests after police shot Jacob Blake repeatedly in the back early Sunday. A letter sent this morning says the city is under attack and they're asking Democratic Governor Tony Evers for 1,500 additional National Guard troops. Yesterday they asked for 750 and got 125. It also comes after Governor Evers turned down an offer of help from the White House. First Lady Melania Trump calling for peace in the streets when she delivered an address at last night's second night of the Republican National Convention.
Instead of tearing things down, let's reflect on our mistakes and look to our way forward.
USA Radio News.
Today, many of us are paying attention to our health, and what we eat plays an important role. But so often the water we drink is a mere afterthought when it should be a primary part of our daily nutrition. Real Water would like to change how you think about the water you drink and how it can play an important role in helping your body restore balance and reach its full potential. The key benefits of every bottle of Real Water are stabilized negative ions, balanced pH, detoxification, and it hydrates you like never before. And yes, it tastes great. Real Water is beyond alkalinity, and due to its proprietary process called E2 technology, it's the only drinking water on the market that can maintain a stable negative ionization, which means real science in every bottle. Order your Real Water today and take advantage of special pricing for this audience only by calling 1-855-REAL-WTR or visiting buyrealwaternow.com. That's 1-855-REAL-WTR or buyrealwaternow.com. Order now, 1-855-REAL-WTR or buyrealwaternow.com.
Someone once said, live free or die, right? Bill Martinez, live.
Hey, good to have you back with us. 28 minutes before the top of the hour. For more information on the show, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com. With us right now, Tyler Rowley joins us, the author and editor. Going to be sharing compelling stories of 23 Catholics whose lives have been shaped by the unwavering faith of their fathers. The name of his new book, Because of Our Fathers, 23 Catholics tell how their fathers led them to Christ. Tyler, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us.
Good to be here, Bill. Thank you for having me.
Hey, why the book?
Why the book? There's a crisis. There's a lot of crisis in the church right now, but there's a specific crisis in men retaining their Catholic identity. So I was actually listening to Catholic radio at the time that I kind of thought of the idea of this book, and there was a specific story that struck me. I was listening to Father Gerald Murray talk about his father. The week prior to that, he actually buried his father, so he was talking all about him. And he told this one specific story. He said when he was on his way, his father was getting ready to work like he did every morning, and something sort of made Father, a seven-year-old Father Murray, realize that his father was going to Mass every single day before he went to work. And he was kind of shocked, and he said, "Dad, why do you go to church every single day before you go to work? I thought we only had to go to church on Sunday." And his dad said, "We only have to, I suppose, but I love to be with Jesus in the Eucharist every single day."
Yes.
And this was just a very, common response to his son that was sort of this impetus to Father Murray really cherishing his faith and realizing that the greatest man in his life lived in this humble submission to God. And he'll tell you that it was the impetus to him ultimately giving his life to the church in the form of a vocation to the priesthood. And when I heard that story, my mind immediately shot back a couple of years prior, when my parish priest sent me this email that contained this study of the generational transmission of faith. So basically how the faith religions are passed down from fathers and mothers to sons and daughters. Mm-hmm. And I just remember the numbers were staggering on how the strength of the correlation between the father's faith and how that gets passed down to the children. And that study always stuck with me. I really never heard of that. I didn't know that. And, you know, so I'm hearing Father Murray's story. I'm thinking about that study about how fathers are much more responsible for passing down the faith. And then I kind of went through like a mental Rolodex in my head, and I said, okay, let me see if this is true in my life, you know, because a study is a study, but let me sort of personalize this.
Right.
And I mean, almost to a T, I was going through family members and friends that I could all draw a connection between the faith of their father and these friends and family members. So I just knew there had to be other stories out there like this, if this was true. And I started calling around to different men, researching stories. And the interesting part is that almost every single person I talked to, you know, I knew them, but I didn't know anything about their fathers. You know, I knew they were committed and serious Catholics, but I didn't know anything about their fathers. But
Right. Every
single time, these men and women said, oh, yeah, my father is an extremely committed and serious Catholic. He was or is, you know, the best person in my life. He's the reason that I'm Catholic today. So it was sort of like the thesis for the book was sort of proven out in these initial conversations that I had with these men and women. And because it was so adamant that their fathers were the reasons that they were Catholic, they were also so grateful for that, and they were more than willing to contribute an essay, kind of explaining the things that they said, the things that they did, the memories that are burned in their minds from their childhood. And that's what the book is. It's 23 essays of different men and women. They all happen to be American Catholics across the country, and they talk about their fathers.
Well, you know, this is, I'm so blessed that you've done this, and I know others are going to be blessed as they pick this up to be reminded of just how significant their fathers have been to their lives. You know, it's not necessarily contemporary, you know, in terms of the contemporary spirit, because fathers have been maligned in so many ways, and when we look at you know, numbers in terms of devastation of communities in this, what we find to be consistent is fatherlessness. And, you know, in the spirit of, you know, mothers and motherhood and how important mothers and motherhood are, I think we're leaving in the dust the significance of fathers, because when it comes to the household, who is the strong man that the evil one wants to tie up in a household but the father? Because the father is the strongest, right? So this is what consistently happens, and fathers have been maligned in such a way in movies, TV series, just go right on down the line. We've been conditioned to think less of our fathers, as opposed to when I grew up, it was father knew best, father knows best. It was, you know, TV series about fathers that, you know, put them in a positive light, as opposed to today, they're just buffoons and somebody to make fun of and kind of, you know, convenient objects in a TV series. That are to be the, you know, the feminist foil, you know.
Right. Now this is a coordinated cultural attack on men that's been going on for decades, and that's playing out all over the streets of our country right now. In the book, I say something to the effect of, you know, if sociology ever yielded a conclusive truth, it is this: that children suffer immensely when their fathers are absent. And that's as true a sociological fact as you could possibly get at this point. And there are mountains of books that detail the problems with children when the fathers aren't in the home. Everything from suicide to abortion to high school dropout rate to prison sentences, everything skyrockets. All the bad stuff skyrockets when fathers aren't in the home. And like I said, it's precisely what you're seeing all across the country. The point of this book, so I do touch on that in the book, and then I kind of shift and I say, so if that is sort of this foregone conclusion, which it should be in every American's mind, that children suffer when their fathers are not there, then it's only logical to conclude that if the father is not there in a spiritual sense, and the father is not leading his family in a spiritual sense, then the children and the family are going to suffer in that regard as well. Because there is just something biological and spiritually true that the father is the head of the household. He's the leader. He's a spiritual leader. And children, you know, whether they recognize it, you know, as from a theological standpoint or not, they get the message from the time that they're little, that this is the man who is going to lead us in certain directions. And I just got an email this morning from a woman who read my book, and she said, you know, and I know women are going to drive a lot of the sales of this book to try and get it in men's hands. And she said, you know, I used to catechize my children. I did Catholic school. I did CCD. I made sure they got all the sacraments. But every single time I did something, you know, my husband gave an eye roll or made sort of a sarcastic comment about the faith. And then I would start to only catechize them when their father wasn't around. But I know that they knew that I was doing that, and they knew that Dad thought this was all silly. And sure enough, her two sons are completely fallen away from the faith, and she's, you know, trying to find some sort of way to get them to read this book so that when they start families, they're not going to do the same thing that their fathers did. That their father did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, this is, you know, again, part and parcel of what has contributed to, you know, to the, not necessarily the demise, but definitely the weakening of the family unit. I want to go back to what you said earlier about fathers. I mean, who put fathers in that lead position?
God did.
God himself, exactly. So if God put men in those positions, there is an assignment that cannot be denied, an authority assignment.
Right.
And it's important that fathers step up and realize this. And this is going to happen in layers, because for so long it's been acceptable for fathers to be skeptical, to, you know, because they've been attacked and, you know, whatever reason, and they bought into this false narrative that they're not significant. But what, you know, the research is indicating clearly, without a doubt, that fathers are critical to the success of their children and going forward and of their family. And so what father does not want, you know, their families, their children to be successful? I don't know of any that would be so blatant, but this is what's so important about your book, because you're holding up a mirror of society to the face of men today, and they've got to look into it and see, look at, am I part of the problem or part of the solution here?
Right, exactly. And I say, one thing I cite in the book is a 2015 Pew study that said 27% of Catholics have pretty much abandoned the faith. And then 13.
We've got to come back. Let's pick it up when we come back. We got more from Tyler after this.
Fly somewhere? Looking for cheap flights or cheap tickets? Then call. That's right. Call the low-cost airline travel hotline now for prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. Low-cost airlines has all kinds of cheap travel deals. Fly domestically and save up to 75%. You can even fly internationally and save even more. Yes, fly anywhere in the world and save a lot of money on your plane tickets. We'll even save you money with cheap travel deals on hotels, rental cars, even complete travel packages. So don't book your tickets until you call us first for the absolute cheapest prices on U.S. and international airline tickets and hotels. Call right now for prices so low they can't be published. Travel experts are here 24/7 to help. 800-430-7694. 800-430-7694. 800-430-7694. That's 800-430-7694.
Packages start at $39.99 a month with signed agreement. Restrictions apply. Speak to a representative for complete offer details. See Vivint.com for license details.
Homeowners, if you're looking for the best in home security and smart home technology at a price you can actually afford, we have great news. You can now get Vivint's award-winning smart home security systems starting at about $1 a day. U.S. News and World Report has recognized Vivint as the top home security system of 2019, calling the Vivint system the best for a complete package of home security and automation, the best pro-installed home security system, and
and the best home security system with cameras. And right now, you can get Vivint's best home security and smart technology for about $1 a day. Plus, get free professional installation. Protect your home and loved ones for as little as $1 a day. Call right now for your home security consultation.
800-962-6082. 800-962-6082. That's 800-962-6082.
If you or a loved one is a survivor of abuse by Boy Scouts of America representatives as far back as the 1970s, we urge you to speak up. We'll stand with you and get you the help and financial compensation you deserve. A jury in Portland, for example, awarded $18.5 million in punitive damages in one Boy Scout sexual abuse case. The Boy Scouts of America filed for bankruptcy, and funds have been set aside to compensate those injured. Time is limited, and so are the funds. Call today. Don't wait. For free information on how to file your claim, call All Survivors Advocates right now. We have a long track record in helping our clients get the legal justice and compensation they deserve. Please, we are ready to help you. Call today.
800-364-2984. 800-364-2984. 800-364-2984. That's 800-364-2984.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Spirit of Don't Tread on Me Alive. Bill Martinez, live.
Well, the author and editor, Tyler Rowley, continues with us. We're talking about 23 compelling Catholic stories about the significance that fathers played in their sons' lives and daughters' lives. The book is Because of Our Fathers, 23 Catholics Tell How Their Fathers Led Them to Christ. Tyler, before the break, we were talking about the Pew study, empirical evidence after empirical evidence. I mean, the research is quite clear when it speaks of the impact of the father in a household, right?
That's right. And the study that I was saying was, again, 2015 Pew study shows 27% of Catholics have left the faith. Another 13% of Catholics identify as Catholic still, but largely don't practice. And what I say in the book is that I'm really trying to target those men that make up that 13%. And what I want to say is, you know, there's still something there, but you still want to identify as a Catholic man, but you're not doing anything to pass on the faith of your children. Statistics are showing that your adult children are going to have absolutely no relationship with Jesus Christ, right? No relationship with God at all. And your grandchildren will not even be baptized and will truly have no relationship with the living God. And I want them to reflect on that. And I ask them in the book to truly reflect on hundreds and hundreds and maybe even thousands of years of Catholic fathers who have passed down this faith generation after generation. And now it's come to you. And here you are. And I want you to talk to your great-great-great-grandfather. And he's going to ask you a question. He's going to say, why did you let the faith fade away from your family? And what did you replace it with? What did you give your children instead of Jesus Christ?
Right.
Because
that's key. I want to pause for just a minute, Tyler. I want people to make sure they understand this. And that is that it's Christ or something else. I mean, you're going to pass on one or the other. And so, so there's something has been lost in translation that has made Christ so insignificant that you would think that he's not important enough to pass down. I mean, like the earlier story you were talking about, a father getting up every morning, to have Holy Communion. And those of us who are Catholic understand, the gift of the communion and celebration of the Holy Eucharist. It is it is beyond description. And once that is in your very spirit, you long for that. And this is one of the tough things for me, I will say to you personally, is that, not being able to attend Mass. I happen to be in California, which is locked down. In Florida, I was able to attend Mass and participate in the Eucharist. But that is an ache for me, a personal ache. And so I do it symbolically, during a Mass that I may watch online, something along those lines. But there's just something, incredibly extraordinary and spiritual about, the Eucharistic celebration in Mass.
Right. Yeah, and you're exactly right. If you're not passing on Jesus Christ to them, they are going to worship something. Our children are worshiping something today. They're worshiping consumerism. They're worshiping secularism, wealth, pleasure. And this is what you see, and those things don't fill the hole that man has and the questions that he has about his own existence. And I'm asking these men to reflect on that. I say at the end of the book, I say, that there's a famous line in the Hail Holy Queen prayer that says, that talks about this a valley of tears. It kind of describes the earth as a valley of tears, and there's a reason for that. The church has never shied away from the fact that this world can be very painful, can be very hard. There's tragedy. I was just on social media earlier, and I saw this, a mother was just, she just lost her son in a car accident, a collapsed lung. He was on, she had to pull the plug on her brain dead son. And I'm thinking to myself, what are we handing our children? The shoulder of the world to cry on when stuff like this happens? We're taking away the consolation of the cross, the promise of eternal life, the relationship that God has offered to us through his son. And the real shame is that fathers are abandoning the faith and taking it away from their children and grandchildren before they even understand what it really teaches. And that's really my main message in the book. I say, before you walk away and before you abandon this and you take it away from your children and grandchildren, study it. Do some spiritual reading. Ask questions. Because the truth is that there's so many ignorant Catholic men out there that really can't even articulate the most basic truths of the faith. And I was kind of there in my late 20s, and I started reading C.S. Lewis, and I just fell head over heels in love with God, with Jesus Christ, and ultimately is what led me to the Catholic Church.
Wow. Well, that's very cool. So let's talk about some of the stories. You've got 23 Catholics that have told their stories. Share some of them.
Sure. They're kind of broken up into two parts. Ten or twelve of them are probably men you've heard a lot about, and the other ones are research and networking I did to find these really great stories out there. We probably have time for one. I'll talk about the first essay that I put in the book. It's by a man named John Castillo. John Castillo is the son of a boy named Kendra Castillo. In May of 2019, two students walked into a Colorado charter school with the intent of shooting everyone in two different classrooms. And one of these students walked into Kendra Castillo's classroom and told everyone to get down on their knees, and he was going to execute every single person at point-blank range. And Kendra Castillo, in the blink of an eye, rushed forward, pinned this student up against a whiteboard, and was subsequently the only shot that was fired that day went through Kendrick's heart, and he died. Two other boys were able to subdue him and get the gun away from him, but Kendrick saved his entire classroom that day. And John Castillo is his father, and he talks about both Kendrick in the book, and he talks about his father, Kendrick's grandfather, and how intently Kendrick's grandfather passed down the faith to John, and how John every single day tried to do that with Kendrick. And Kendrick was, at 17 years old, this very spiritual and prayerful young man. And he was this Christ-like figure. And these two, and John does this beautiful thing. He reflects on the fathers of these two other students. And one of them had, you know, no father relationship at all. His father was in jail for beating his mother, for running drugs from Mexico to the United States. The other boy was adopted, had no relationship with his with his adopted parents. They wrote 666 on the garage, the parents' garage, doused their car in gasoline and burned it. And then these three lives converge into school right after that. These this sort of Christ-like figure in Kendrick, raised by a very Catholic father, and these two sort of devilish, demonically led other children who were intent on sharing their pain with the rest of the world in the form of killing their classmates. And it's an amazing story, heart-wrenching, sad, but also beautiful, because John ends it by saying that, you know, Kendrick did for us what Christ did so many years ago on that hill in Jerusalem when he gave his life for us. And that's what Kendrick did, that day. He died for his friends.
Wow, what a story. And this is the power of Christ in our lives. And it's also the story of what life looks like without Christ. I mean, we're seeing it acted out in the streets of America today with the lawlessness and chaos that's running rampant. This is all part and parcel of a fatherless society, isn't it?
Again, because the bottom line truth is that without a father in the household, many children simply can't be controlled. You know, Pope Leo XIII, 100 years ago, I put this quote in my book. He said, without religious instruction and parents teaching their children in the household about God, that children grow up to be, I think he used the word, unruly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was 100 years ago, and now we're seeing, you know, 60, 70 years of the decline of Christ in our society, the decline of God in our society, and we have unruly children who cannot be tamed by a single mother in a household, you know, who has 2, 3, 4, 5 kids, and the father is off doing God knows what. This leaves both a wound in the child's heart. It leaves him with deep questions that go unanswered. And just practically, the mother cannot control these children, especially when they get to be 14, 15, 16-year-old men, mm-hmm. who now are going to use all that anger and pain to unleash it onto the rest of society.
Yeah, and then they go out and have an interaction with police, disrespect authority, and get themselves into more trouble than they realized.
Yeah, exactly. And that's one thing the church always talks about when they talk about fathers in encyclicals dating back hundreds of years, discipline. Mm-hmm. That's what a father does with his children. It's his duty and his responsibility to both educate and to discipline his children. And the discipline is just lacking in so many children's lives. We actually have a national crisis on our hands.
You're exactly right. Tyler, got about a minute and a half left. You got time for one more story?
Yeah, I do. If I had to pick one more story out, you know, Abby Johnson was to talk last night at the Republican National Convention. She is one of the contributors in this book. She has a beautiful story. You know, this is a woman who was killing unborn children as a career. Mm-hmm. And one thing that led her back to Christ and ultimately back to the Catholic Church was a father who never stopped loving her, never gave his approval of what she was doing, but in a very loving and patient way, just waited for her to come to the discipline that he knew that he gave her as a young child. And for whatever reason, she just, you know, this was how she was going to help women. He knew she was wrong, but in a charitable and patient way, he waited for her to come back. And when she came back and called him, the first thing he said is, do you need money and do you need me to come get you? And that was always the thing that Abby remembered, was that, man, my father, he never, ever, ever stopped loving me. He never gave up on me. And ultimately, he's the reason, you know, she gets out of Planned Parenthood is because of that love that he always had for the family.
And just gave birth to her 8th child about a year ago, by the way.
Yes, amen.
Yeah, very, very, very sweet gal, and her testimony at the convention was very, very touching. Tyler Rowley and his book, Because of Our Fathers, linked on our website at BillMartinezLive.com.
Attention radio listeners, have you ever wanted to be independent of the utility companies and actually generate your own supply of off-grid electrical power? If so, this is going to be the most important message you'll ever hear. Here's why. A limited number of solar-powered backup generators are back in stock and now available. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving electrical power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, a solar generator runs quietly, emits no fumes, and produces an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. It's like having an electric power plant running silently, secretly, in your own home. Run sump pumps, shortwave radios, computers, even keep food from spoiling. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more. That's MySolarBackup.com. Supplies are still limited and are available on a first-come, first-served basis only. MySolarBackup.com.